Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. And then when we're done, I post the interview to lava1053.com and koacountry1077.com. If you listen online, you just have to click on Island Issues and then click on the Island Issues microphone. Today, we are going to have part two of our discussion with Marco Mangelsdorf of the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative, which is proposed as an alternative way to provide energy on this island, and David Bissell. He's the Chief Executive Officer of the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative, which has been in business for 10 years or so, providing energy to Kauai Island. This is the third in a series of discussions about energy. The first interview was with Jay Ignacio, president of HELCO, and Eric Gleason, president of NextEra Transmission. Energy is in the forefront right now because NextEra wishes to purchase Hawaiian Electric Industries, which includes HELCO, the utility on our island. And this Tuesday and Wednesday, the Public Utilities Commission will hold listening sessions on our island to see what we think. Tuesday, Hilo High, 6 o'clock. Wednesday, Kealakehe High at 6 o'clock. The Hawaii Island Energy Co-op, The possibility of a Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative is not on the PUC docket. That's not a topic of discussion for them at this time. That is not the docket they are considering. It is a topic that is of interest to people on the island who want to form an energy co-op, and we should understand what all the different options are. So we begin today with a repeat of my final question that I asked Marco Mangelsdorf last Sunday, and then we'll complete the rest of our interview. Marco Mangelsdorf, can Hawaii Island, under the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative model, can it achieve 100% renewable by 2045?
Oh, I think it can be done considerably before that, Sherry. Like David mentioned, cost necessarily must be a really key criterion. It can't be renewable energy at any cost. One of the most important things that a utility must do, along with having the lights on close to 100% of the time, because people will put up with a lot, but they're not going to put up with frequent power outages or their electronics getting damaged by spikes or sags. So beyond reliability, the affordability of their utility bills is really, really important. And there are still far too many families on this island and other parts of the state that are having to make very painful choices between paying a utility bill and having enough food in their pantry to feed themselves. Where's that sweet spot in terms of moving as fast as possible with more renewables, but also keeping it affordable? And there's not some grand spreadsheet or equation that you plug in all the variables and you hit enter and then it all spits out what the magic solution is. I mean, it's really kind of feeling as we go. But as far as 100% renewables, we're going to get there, I feel very confidently, a lot sooner than 2045.
I think that Hawaiian Electric Light Company on this island has done a great job of keeping power to all homes. When I first moved here 21 years ago, we did have brownouts or blackouts more often. Now that pretty rarely happens, and they've done a nice job of that, and I know they have excess capacity. HELCO, Hawaiian Electric Light Company, has about 50% of their power being provided by renewables right now, and that's more than the electric utilities on Oahu or Maui. With the state mandating that energy has to be provided by 100% renewables by 2045, HELCO's about halfway there, but they still have a lot of energy being provided by oil. So, Marco, what technologies would you use to get off of the oil and the other carbon kind of fuels that are causing the problem?
Well, there has to be a dramatic kind of Apollo-like program of storage, of energy storage. I'm not saying anything controversial by saying that. And it has to take place most likely on both sides of the meter, so to speak. In other words, that you'll have battery storage that will be sited at homes and businesses, and you'll have utility-scale battery storage at power plants and substations. Because right now with solar, which of course there are times when the sun don't shine and times when the wind don't blow, right? You have to be able to store that energy during nighttime hours and when it's less windy. And now, note as well that we're really blessed here. We're kind of blessed and cursed at the same time, I guess, in this island, that we have fantastic, fantastic geothermal resources that other places can only dream of. So the biggest chunk of renewable energy in terms of electricity generation here comes from geothermal, and it comes from one power plant in Pune. And anybody who knows about the PGV over the past years, months and years, knows that it's been anything but, it has been rather controversial. And it's a huge question in terms of, should there be more geothermal development on this island? And if so, where should it be? You know, it's a really reasonable question to ask, okay, well, what do you think? What does the co-op think about more geothermal, for example? And the answer must necessarily be, that's not for us nine, we nine directors to decide. This is a really important decision that would be decided by the membership through a democratically elected board. So there are tough choices to be made, Cherry. I mean, it's, you can't have it all just by waving your magic wand and having 100% renewable next year, next month, 2 years, three, 4 years from now. I mean, it's going to require dramatic transformation, really, of this electric grid going away from centralized power generation and more so-called distributed generation or distributed energy resources.
For me as a homeowner, what does that actually mean to me? What would I see different in the future than what I see today, which is today I don't have solar powers on my roof other than for my water. Plenty of hot water, particularly now, way too much hot water. But we don't have solar power. So as a homeowner who gets their power from Helco, what am I going to see differently or do differently?
Well, going solar or not is, of course, a choice. And I'm not advocating, I would never advocate that thou shalt put in a PV system on one's home. I mean, it's a matter of personal choice. And no matter how compelling, let's say, the economics may be or the tax credits or this or that incentive, there are going to be people who decide to opt out. And that's perfectly their right. And they should not be penalized. I mean, the grid is a common good, common public infrastructure. It needs to be maintained for the benefit of all in a fair and equitable way. And I'm not really giving you perhaps a specific answer to your great question. But I mean, it's difficult to prognosticate. The farther out you go in time, the more inaccurate inevitably you're going to be. So what I know for a fact right now is that the utility grid here and on the other islands as well, we're facing some challenges in terms of the degree of PV that has been going in at a very fast clip, especially over the past 7 or 8 years, is presenting real challenges to utility operators here. Because these grids, which, you know, really go back to designs going back to Edison, were not designed to be able to accommodate tens of thousands of micro power plants on people's homes and businesses. So we are in the process. We're within this transformation, and the end result of it is really not known at this time. I mean, it's a very exciting, but also a very kind of scary and challenging time all together.
David, what comments do you have?
I was just going to make a statement. I'm looking out the window at the nice sunny day here in Kauai, and I was thinking, presuming that we've got Anahola going as well as our solar farm over there, as well as it's been going the last few days, we are probably right now producing over half our energy on the island from the sun. That's a huge percentage, and the problem with that is, as Marco alluded to, is if a cloud comes over, all of a sudden you can lose a lot of that load quickly. So there's a lot of grid challenges. It's much more difficult to balance your load, and as a utility, you have to balance supply and demand every fraction of a second, all day and all night, and that takes tremendous resources. We're spending a lot of our time, a lot of our focus and effort on storage, trying to figure out ways both to regulate the grid, make it safe and secure for all the electronic equipment out there. But really the holy grail for us that we're rapidly going to achieve is to take daylight produced photovoltaic energy and move it to nighttime through various storage mediums. We're looking at large-scale batteries. We're looking at pump storage hydro to move the cheap PV to nighttime, and the technologies are getting very cost competitive now. So we're excited about it. We think we very soon can be having projects to get to economically move the daylight generated electricity from cheap solar to nighttime.
David, running an electric utility does require a tremendous amount of technical expertise. From where did you get your technical expertise? I don't mean you personally. I mean, where does the company get it?
You got to hire good engineers, good technical people. On Kauai, a lot of ours are Kauai kids that went off to school, went off and came back for a good job working at the electric company. We've got a lot of talented engineers, a lot of talented technical people working in the plants, as do they have at Helco. Utilities are usually very fortunate to have well-paid, well-educated, well-experienced people. Every utility I've ever been associated with has very good operating people to make sure the plants run and the lights stay on.
Marco, any comment on the technical expertise and what you see for HIEC?
Well, I mean, you have to have people running a utility company who know how to run the utility company. And the 350-some-odd Helco employees overall, I think, do a truly superlative job under sometimes incredibly difficult conditions. I mean, these are people who are part of us. They live in our neighborhoods. They're working the lines. They're crunching numbers on computers. They're dealing with customer service. And any type of follow-up co-op here would need people who know how to run a utility company. So any notion of, oh, we're going to do wholesale, you know, house cleaning and out with the old and in with the good and the new, no. I mean, we would need people who would know how to run a utility company. And, you know, there would be natural attrition. You know, when there's a change of this matter, you get people who say, well, I've been here 25 years and now, you know, it's a good time. Just like if there is to be the successful purchase of HEI from NextEra, I can guarantee you there's going to be a substantial exodus if and when the deal is consummated, because people think, I'm close to retirement or I'm past retirement and time to move on and let the new guys deal with the new company.
Recently, NextEra filed some documentation to respond to some of the interveners. And one of the questions I am going to ask you is, who is against the concept of the energy cooperative? And I know that NextEra did mention the energy cooperatives in their filings. So who's against you and why?
It's hard. Even if I took off my HIEC hat and kind of purged myself momentarily of any enthusiasm and passion I had for this idea in concept and practice, let's say I could do that, from a kind of an objective analytical perspective, what case can be made against the co-op for this island? And it's really hard to come up with a very compelling case. And my NextEra friends have made the case subtly to me in a friendly way that they feel that what they bring will be a better path to lower electric rates. And I think that's a reasonable argument that can be made. I don't happen to agree with it, but I think it's a reasonable argument that can be made. So the argument can be made, having Helco be part of a big company, which it is now, HEI, or part of an even bigger company, NextEra Energy in Florida, that could lead to economies of scale and other means of being able to lower rates here. So I think that's really the best card that they can play, is that we can offer you lower rates, even though there's no way they can guarantee that, in my opinion. But on the other side of the ledger, I think, again, trying to stay objectively analytical, one can make a case, a very clear case, a compelling case for a co-op having a number of attributes that just kick Okole against an IOU, and that being democratic control. It's not for profit. The margin beyond expenses stays on island. There can be regular periodic checks or credits going to customers. And it has a tremendous democratic appeal to it, where the decisions made for this island are made on this island for the benefit of this island and its residents. So to me, Cherry, it's tough. It's tough to make an analytical, objectively analytical argument why a co-op is not a good idea.
And a brief interruption before I get David's comments on this. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Kaua Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. And you may listen online to these interviews at either lava1053.com or kauacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then click on the Island Issues microphone. Today, it's my second interview about energy co-ops with David Bissell, CEO of Kauai Island Utility Cooperative, and Marco Mangelsdorf, representing the proposed Hawaii Island Energy Co-op. This Tuesday and Wednesday, the Public Utilities Commission will be here on the island to hear what you have to say. Tuesday, Hilo Hai at 6, Wednesday, Kealakehe Hai at 6, and then they will take written comments up until the time they make their decision on whether NextEra should be allowed to purchase Hawaiian Electric Industries. There'll be one more energy-focused interview that will air on October 18th, with blogger and frequent PUC intervener Henry Curtis, who's really knowledgeable about this whole topic. And I almost forgot, you may also see an energy forum that was sponsored by Hawaii Island Chamber of Commerce at Imiloa Astronomy, which I moderated a few weeks ago with all of the key players, including the state's consumer advocate and a former head of the PUC. But next Sunday, we're turning to the topic of volcanoes with Tina Neal. She's the brand new scientist in charge at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, and get the latest on the change in the advisory level on Mauna Loa, which is not poised to erupt. But I would like to learn more about why Hawaiian Volcano Observatory did an upgrade on the alert level. Now, let's get back and find out what David Bissell thinks about those who believe an energy co-op is not a good answer.
I take strong exception to NextEra's assertions that you have to be a giant company to operate successfully in the electric business, particularly in Hawaii. Hopefully, when they go out and do their listening sessions on the other islands, they'll learn that each island is different, has different solutions, different wants, different needs. I think what is needed on Oahu versus what is needed on a big island or Maui is vastly different. And that's really where the local control, local contributions by the people can help bring local solutions that are the right fit for each island. Hawaii is not Florida. We're not a massive state where you need a giant company to come in and do large-scale investments to cover millions of people, millions of ratepayer people. Particularly when you move off Oahu, we're small. Each one of us is small. We're each independent. And you got to have a lot of focus on the individual side of the island. The big island needs to be successful, the same as Kauai does, the same as Maui does. It needs focused attention on that island and on that island's resources and what's the appropriate investment, how to best bring about solutions there. And I think it's a locally-based success model as opposed to a top-down large corporation dictating what's right for a particular island.
I found it personally interesting that in their filing with the Public Utilities Commission, NextEra took the time and energy to argue against an energy cooperative for this island, because I wouldn't even have thought they would have paid attention to you. Nothing personal, Marco. But the HIEC doesn't exist yet. So for them to spend time on that means they must be concerned about it.
They had to, Sherry. They had to slap us down, because to ignore us by being silent would not be a good strategy on their part, because we have been very explicit in essentially trying to make our case to the public, these three commissioners, that this option, this alternative model on this island, given what's at stake, is not just worthy of their consideration, but we make the argument that it should be something that is put on the table. And NextEra and HEI must necessarily vehemently oppose any type of consideration of alternatives, because if they start down that road, this deal is done. So they have to push back against the idea of a co-op here. They have to push back against the idea of a municipal utility on Maui, which is what Mayor Alan Arakawa has spoken about. They have to push back on any and all efforts to derail this deal, pure and simple.
Any other comments on that particular point, David?
No, I think it was well said by Marco. They've got to do what they feel they need to do. They've got an awful lot of attorneys, awful lot of money invested in this. And, you know, NextEra is a good company. They're arguably an excellent company, and they're going to cover the bases on every box that needs to be checked to defend their case. That's what an excellent company does. So it's not surprising. And I think there's some issues we'd like to address, and hopefully sometime we'll have an opportunity to address it in the regulatory process. But they're going to mark off all the boxes as part of their operations.
I happen to have a utility background in that I worked for telephone companies, AT&T, Pacific Bell, South Central Bell in New Orleans. And one thing that large utilities really pride themselves on is disaster restoration. And you on Kauai, David, have faced some really bad hurricanes. We on Hawaii Island last year faced Hurricane Azelle coming ashore. Can an electric utility cooperative that operates solely on one island, manage emergency restoration. And first, I'll ask you, David, what's your plan if you have a disaster on Kauai? How will you recover with just what you have on Kauai? And then I'll ask Marco what his plan is.
Well, you're not going to recover based on what you have on Kauai alone, just as if something happened on Oahu, a major hurricane hits, they're not going to be able to recover with their resources. Utilities help each other in times of disaster, and I'm certain that our sister utilities and whoever is owning the other islands would come over here to help. We have mutual aid agreements with the West Coast, with the multiple West Coast utilities to come out and help. Utilities will help, whether you're big or small. They're going to be there in time of need. We also have, as part of it's another one of the benefits of being a cooperative, that we have access to FEMA money as well to help in the financial aspect of recovery. So it's a very big advantage when you're in hurricane-prone areas, as both these islands are.
Marco?
Yeah, I'll just reinforce and reiterate what David said. And I remember back in Izel last year, I mean, I saw KIUC trucks on this island. I saw Miko trucks on this island. I saw HECO trucks on this island. And if it had happened to one of the other islands, there'd be HELCO trucks or HIEC trucks on the island. That's who we are. That's the island Ohana that we are collectively. So it's not going to make a difference whether it's an investor-owned utility, a co-op, a muni. I mean, that's who we are. That's what we do. We help. And David mentioned as well FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, our administration. Co-ops can tap into FEMA money. IOUs cannot. HECO cannot. HELCO cannot. MECO cannot, because they are of a different category, but co-ops can. So there are both local resources, our friends, friendly utilities on the other islands that we will always be able to count on, as well as federal money to be able to do whatever needs to be done to rebuild.
Question about the directors. You talked, Marco, about the democratic aspect of a utility co-op being a positive. And one of the things that sometimes happens is when you have people voting on major technical issues is if they vote on a motion or don't understand the technical and financial aspects, sometimes you can get a result that may not, in fact, be in the best interests overall of the utility. How do you keep special interest groups, factions, from taking over an energy co-op?
Well, David can certainly speak to this in terms of his experience on the Garden Isle. But it's important to note that a co-op does not mean that for every decision that has to be made that it's going to be a plebiscite, that people will tap into their smartphones or their iPads and make a vote on, should we get a new power plant? Should we buy a new fleet of trucks? No, that's not the way it works. The way it works is that, as David was explaining earlier, that you have a democratic elected board where not all the board members are elected or voted out at once, because there's a reason why that's not a good idea. So you have, let's say, in KLUC's case, three coming up for re-election or new elections at various times. So there's a natural kind of weeding out process of people who have rather, let's say, extreme ideas, because, I mean, I fundamentally believe in the democratic process that you can have. It's great that anybody can run. I encourage that. But typically, you know, as a people, I think whether it's this island or the Americans at large, we're fairly moderate. And well, yes, we have outliers on both the right and left side of the political spectrum. But for the most part, the people who get elected to office or get elected as board members for co-ops, they're people from the community who are willing to put themselves out there for little if no pay and do something that they believe in.
David, your comments on that, because that has been expressed to me as a concern here on this island that a special interest group could take over. What have you seen on Kauai?
I echo Marco's comments. The people of Kauai take very serious the board elections, who they put on as directors for KIUC. They're making multi-million, $100 million decisions. And I think ultimately Marco's correct that the democratic process has its warts, certainly, but it does end up with reasonable board members, at least in the mind of the community all the time. So some may be farther left, some may be farther right, but there is majority decision-making needed. So you can have one fringe director on either side, and they got to have four more supporting them to be able to do anything. So the process works. It, is any time it's elected as opposed to appointed, there is a potential, but I've never seen it here. We have a very good board of directors, community-minded people. Most of them have lived their whole lives in Kauai, although not all of them. There's a good mix there. So the process works. There's no guarantee, but, you know, there is a guarantee that if a board gets elected and they're not doing what the people of the island want, they're not going to be there for long. They will be not get back in for election. So it's a self-correcting process. And one of the other parts that all cooperatives do is through our trade organization. Directors are educated. They receive education through the trade association. All of our directors are required to become board certified or certified under NRECA as directors. And there's a couple levels of certification that they achieve. All of them must obtain the level one certification within, I think, a year of when they're elected. So there's pretty good training out there. But when we haven't talked about this, and the focus over on the Big Island tends to be right now the board and the process. But the board's main job is the board sets overall direction. They interact with the community and figure out the strategic plans for the cooperative. In our case, we did a plan a couple of years ago where we actually, you know, they put it out, here's what we thought the strategic plan should be. We went out and vetted it with the community, and we ended up making quite a few changes. The community wanted more details, more action-driven plan, and we turned it around and changed what the board had came up with. But the board does that, and the other key part is the board hires the CEO. It's the CEO and the professional staff that ultimately runs the utility. The board is at the governance level. They're not down in the day-to-day. It's the professional staff, and the CEO works at the pleasure of the board. So ultimately, the CEO has a strong tie to the community because the guys that he's working for are directly related to the community. So it tends to work. It's got nice checks and balances, but with any organization, it's only as good as the people you have, and it's been a real asset to us on Kauai that we've had a very solid, very supportive board to take a long-term outlook on what's best for the island, and I'm convinced everybody on our board wants what's best for the island. I think you'd see the same on the Big Island.
Thank you very much. Now, we've had a lot of discussion. What else, David Bissell, before we say aloha, should we know about Kauai Island Utility Cooperative or utility co-ops in general?
I think the biggest part, particularly in the context of the Hawaii scene today with the NextEra and the HECO situation, is the local control. Cooperatives are nothing but there to serve the people that use the service, that use electricity. It's local decision-making. There's no outside interest. It's only to benefit the people that use the product. We're not perfect. Co-ops aren't perfect. We make mistakes. I make mistakes. But we're always doing it with the idea that we're trying to do what's best for the people.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being with us. Marco Mangelsdorf, what else should we know about the proposed HIEC, the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative, things that we haven't talked about that you want to share?
Well, I think I'll shamelessly put a plug in and cite our website, which is www.hiec.coop. That's hiec.coop. That's an actual suffix, just like kiuc.coop. So you get some more info there on who and what we are and what we're doing. And I'd also bring it to people's attention that there will be two very, very important listening sessions on this island that the three PUC commissioners, Randy Iwase, Lorraine Akiba, and Mike Champley, are going to be at. That is going to be September 29th in the evening at Hilo High School, the cafeteria at the 29th, Hilo High School. And then on September 30th, the next day, it'll also be in the evening at Kalakehe High School cafeteria. So if you want to get a chance to see our three commissioners up front and say whatever you want to say in terms of commentary on the proposed merger between HEI and NextEra, that would be the time for folks to be able to participate in the process, because this commission wants to get more public input rather than less. So it's been fantastic being with you, Sherry, and a great pleasure to be sharing the stage, so to speak, with David Bissell from Kauai. So thank you both very much.
Well, thank you. And I also would like to mention that if you go to the HIEC COOP, which I always thought was co-op, but silly me, if you go to that website, you'll also get to see the information about the current board of directors, and you'll see it's a pretty big cross-section of this island. I was sort of surprised when I went to it. So thank you so much, Marco Mangelstor, for being here in the studio in person. Thank you, David Bissell, for being on the phone. Aloha to both of you.
Aloha, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Mahalo.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. And know that this is not your last opportunity, Tuesday, Hilohai at 6, Wednesday, Kealakeha Hehai at 6, to give your opinion to the Public Utilities Commission. They will take written input until they actually decide the docket, and that is not going to be for several months. So go to the Hawaii Public Utilities Commission website if you want to know more, and it also has the address where you may send your comments up until the time they begin to decide. I'll see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.